This sermon by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, February the 11th, 2007, and is entitled, Honor Your Father and Mother, taken from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12.
Father, we're grateful for this opportunity to be in your presence. We pray your mercy and grace as we gather around your word that you would open it to us, that we might be nourished and fed, that we might be transformed to be the kind of people that you desire us to be. Father, as you speak, may we hear. As you speak, may we understand. May the truth we look at today be a truth that grabs hold of us, shapes us, and molds us into the people you desire us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first time I heard it, I couldn't believe it. To be real honest with you, the first time I heard about it, I assumed it was just a preacher story, meaning it's a lie. It was just unthinkable. I couldn't imagine it happening, but then I read the article and I've seen other articles since, and it is a growing thing. In fact, it's growing at an alarming rate. They call it granny dumping. That's where a family just gets tired of taking care of the old lady. She's just become a burden on them. She's draining their finances. She's draining their time, their attention. Everything has to go to her, so let's drop her off at the emergency room and just leave her. And it's happening at an alarming rate. In fact, 38% of the hospitals that responded to a Senate Aging Committee study said they have up to 8 people a week dumped in the emergency room. Kind of the ultimate proof that we're a throwaway society. They're not serving any purpose toward me anymore. They're really not a help to me. They're draining me. So I'm not putting up with it. I don't need that. In most cultures, older folks were considered a treasure. In most cultures, the aged were the wise ones. They were the sage. They've, after all, lived a long life, and during that time, they've learned a few things along the way. They have some skill for living, so they are someone to be looked up to, respected, and sought out. But in our self-absorbed, self-centered culture, they're excess baggage. Don't want to be bothered. Don't want to be burdened. It isn't worth it. How did it happen? It just didn't happen. It didn't just happen overnight. There's something that has led up to what we're facing today. Maybe, perhaps, part of the blame is when we no longer discipline children. I mean, is it unthinkable? Is it beyond the realm of possibility that if I don't teach my child to mind and behave, if I allow my child to disrespect me and disrespect their elders, is it unthinkable that when they get older, after being raised as the center of the universe, that maybe they don't want to be bothered? Maybe we've brought this on ourselves. You know the old adage, be kind to your children because they're going to pick your nursing home. There's a lot of truth to that. The patterns that we establish for our children are going to come back and either bless us or curse us. It's an important matter. It's an issue worth dealing with. It's an issue worth thinking about. Somebody else bother. I don't want to be bothered. We must understand that the family is the foundation of society. In the very beginning, God created the heavens and the earth and everything in it. He created man, and then He created woman out of man, and He brought the two together. And thus, in the very beginning, before there was ever government or any other entity, God established the family as the building block of society. The truth of the matter is, with the demise of the family comes the demise of civil culture. It's an important issue. It's an issue that really does matter. It's an issue that we need to give some serious attention to. because it is an issue that touches the very heart and soul of our nation. By the way, the answer is not found in Washington, D.C., or Oklahoma City, or City Hall. The answer to our problem, the solution to reverse where we are, is in a return to rock-solid biblical truth and biblical foundation. The need is for us to return to those words that God thundered from the mountain as a guide, as a map for us to follow in how we live out our relationships. Our text this morning is Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. You remember the context. The people are gathered there at the foot of the mountain. God said, "Now, Moses, when you gather the people, make sure you tell them, don't go up on that mountain, stand down below it. If they try to come up to me, if they try to set foot on the mountain, I will strike them down right there. But they are to gather at the foot of the mountain to hear what I have to say." And then God descended in smoke and fire, and His voice thundered from the mountain, and He said, "This is the life that's pleasing to me. This is the life that honors me. This is what I expect of those who are my people, those who use my name, those who say, we belong to Yahweh. We belong to the covenant God. We belong to the God who is. This is the kind of life I'm going to expect from you. Here's how I want you to live." Jesus was asked, "What's the summing up of the law? What's the greatest commandment?" He said, "Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." In that, you have the summing up of the law. So when we look at these 10 words, the first four deal with that vertical relationship. This is about our relationship with God. How do we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Commands 5 through 10 then deal with how do we love our neighbor? How do we love others? How do we live out this love relationship in our various relationships in the world? And there is a progression. He says in the first command, "You're to love me exclusively. Have no other gods in my presence." Not, "I'm number one on your list. I'm the only one on your list." Have no other gods in my presence. He demands an exclusive devotion. Then he says, "Don't make any carved image. You are to worship me correctly. Don't worship me in a way that detracts or distracts from my glory. And use my name properly. Don't abuse my name. Don't take my name in vain." And then he said, "Remember my redemptive work." That's what the Sabbath is all about. Remembering the Sabbath is remembering, recognizing, honoring the work of God in redeeming, the work of God in delivering us. This is what it means to love me. Now, if you love me, how do you express that love toward others? How is that love expressed in the various relationships in your life? And he begins in the home. He begins with something that's foundational to society, that's foundational to the well-being of our nation, the well-being of any people. And so he thunders from the mountain in verse 12, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." Honor your father and your mother. Our sovereign King demands that every believer humbly honor and deeply respect their father and mother. What does God demand of us? How do we love others as we love Him? How does this love relationship that we have with the God who is express itself on the horizontal level? It begins with honor and respect toward mother and father. Now, there's an old-fashioned idea. There's an outmoded concept. There's something that's been lost because we live in a day that not only do we not honor father and mother, we sue them. It's incredible just to read the newspaper, just to look at news stories and children suing their parents because we live in a culture that believes parental restraint is an assault on individual freedom. Rebellion and disrespect are applauded rather than condemned in our culture. And one of the great evidences of that is just sitcoms. When you watch a sitcom, the child in the family is usually the savior. He's the one that's reasonable. Mom and dad in particular are very unreasonable. And it's the kid who brings sage, wise advice to the family. But that's just reflective of a culture. That's the way our culture thinks. We must return to a biblical mindset, to a biblical worldview. Because I'll be very honest with you, this rebellion and this lack of respect is as evident in the church as it is outside the church. It's an epidemic in our culture. It's time we rediscover this command that children ought to respect their parents and their elders. Well, wait a minute. Old Testament. That's Old Testament. I'm a New Testament Christian. I live under grace, not under law. Therefore, I'm free. Well, you still have to deal with the fact that Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 15. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians chapter 6 and in Colossians chapter 3. No, it's a biblical principle. It is a biblical truth that we would do well to rediscover. It is for us. Two things I want to ask about this command today. First, what does it mean to honor? And second, what difference does it make? Why bother with it? So just what does it mean to honor your father and mother? Honor your father and mother. That's God's command. That's what I'm expected to do. Does that mean I need to rush out and commission a bronze plaque or statue? Honor your father and mother. Now, do I need to book a brass band for that? Do I need confetti? Just what does it mean to honor in the way that God is using it in this text? What does it mean to honor your father and your mother? Well, we can begin just by a word study. What does the word mean? When he said honor, what was he saying? The Hebrew word that's translated honor here in verse 12 means to give weight to. It means to be heavy. Now, some of you are saying, well, then it's going to be easy for your kids. Not heavy, not weighty physically, but to place weight on. Meaning, I value. And when I weigh things, when I weigh my parents, it's important. To honor father and mother is to consider them important. Is to consider them valuable. It is to pay attention to. It really is that simple. That's not the whole of it, but that certainly is the beginning. It is to esteem. It is to value. It is to value. It is to consider as being important. It means to treat your father and mother with a sense of awe. And that's A-W-E, not A-H. It's not, oh, it's awe. Respect. You know, I am fortunate. I grew up in a home where there was a lot of laughter. There was a lot of teasing. There were all kinds of things that went on at our dinner table that I consider precious and valuable to this day. They are some of my fondest memories. But I also know there was a line we dare not cross, because it was a matter of respect. It was a matter of honor. And sometimes I had to be taught that. And it was not a pleasant experience. But we were not allowed to disrespect. And it comes into play in all of society. We need to be careful. Because the text says, honor your father and mother. It does not say, honor your father and mother provided they did everything right. It does not say, honor your father and your mother provided you feel like it, or provided that you want to. But simply, honor your father and mother, period. To treat is important, to esteem them as having value and worth because you, as an act of your will, have chosen to view them in that light. There's not a qualifier. Try as you might, look as long as you want, dig into the Hebrew, dig into the Greek, do everything you want, you're not going to find a loophole that says, well, I really don't have to in this instance. No. Honor, consider valuable, esteem your father and your mother. But Pastor, wait a minute. You don't know my father and mother. You don't know what they've done. That's true. I don't. But let me be honest with you. I don't have to know because in this instance, it really doesn't matter. Because this command does not speak to mom and dad and what mom and dad are supposed to do. They are addressed. This command is spoken to us as children about what our attitude is to be toward them. Now, let's be very honest. It's going to be much easier for some of us to honor our father and mother than it will be for others. And let's be careful that we understand what honor means. Honor does not demand warm affection. Honor does not demand a loving emotion. Because there are circumstances that your father and your mother don't deserve that. But they do respect, they do deserve your respect and honor because they are your father and your mother. And it's an act of your will to choose to honor them. How do you do that? That is a tall order. That's a difficult thing to do. Just how does it express itself? How does it work itself out in life? How do I honor? How do I show that respect? We start by understanding it's about your attitude toward them. It is about esteem and value that you give them, not as a reward for their behavior, but as something that you owe them by God's command. We need to relate this to two groups of people. First, what does it mean to honor your father and mother when you live at home? When you're still a child with living under their roof, what does it mean to honor them there? And what does it mean to honor them when you're not living in their home? Because this command to honor your father and mother is in place as long as your father and mother are alive. When you're grown, when you're out of the house, when you have a family of your own, you still are to honor your father and mother. But how do you do that? Is it the same or is it different from when you're in the home? How do I express this honor? Well, first let's consider honor during the growing years. That time in which you live at home under mom and dad's roof, when they are paying the bills, when they are providing the food, when they are taking care of you, what is your primary responsibility? How do you primarily show honor in that context? And I'm absolutely convinced that the primary, it's not the only, but the primary way that you demonstrate honor to your parents while living in their house is through obedience. Now that's a nasty word, isn't it? Then it leaves a bad taste in our mouth because we've got an authority problem. Because there are times we don't want to do what they say. But obedience is essential. Now, let's also acknowledge that to demand obedience and to call for obedience in the kind of world you and I live in is to put you out here on the fringe of the counterculture movement. But children are to obey their parents. Now, granted, I'm not a psychologist. I don't have a degree in the social sciences. Yes, I are a college graduate. I'm a seminary graduate. My specialty is not in psychology, but I believe this to be true. I think I can prove this, but let me just state it. Children are not short adults. Children are children. Immature, unlearned, and they have to be taught and guided. And it is the responsibility of mom and dad to provide that. That's God's structure. Now, what are the implications of that? I know that sounds silly to put it that way, but I'm telling you, I'm convinced that there are a lot of parents who don't understand that. Children are children, and by that I mean their primary job is to obey. Their primary job is not to run the house. Mom and dad are to run the house. Mom and dad are the ones under God, given the authority, given the responsibility, and by the way, they will answer to God for running the house. Child's job is to obey. Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, children, obey your parents, for this is right. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. It's not rocket science. This is basic. Honor, esteem, and value is demonstrated through obedience. Now, I know I can get in trouble, and I'm going to run the risk of quit preaching right now and start meddling, but I need to say it. There is no reason to reason with a small child. You know why? They're not reasonable. As a parent, given the authority of God, in that home, you are the vice regent. You have been appointed by the sovereign king of the universe in charge with the responsibility of guiding, of directing, and controlling that child. And there is no cause for you to have to reason with a small child and get them to do what you want them to do. Because your 2-year-old is not reasonable. Because your 3-year-old has insufficient life experience to weigh all the options and understand the implications. Now hear me. I'm not saying you don't tell your child why, but I am saying behavior's not negotiable. I'm not talking about vicious, cruel, pressing under the thumb. But I am saying, Mom, Dad, God made you Mom and Dad, and He's given you responsibility. And your child will not learn honor and respect unless you teach them honor and respect. And that means honor and respect not just to you, but to all authority. And to other adults. What I'm saying is, if you allow your child to disrespect you, if you allow your child to be defiant, if you allow your child to be disrespectful to any other adult, you are encouraging them in their sin. And there was a high price to be paid for that. Guess what, Mom? If your small child is allowed to talk back to you, your child will talk back to their teacher. Your son will talk back to his teacher. And when they get older, they'll talk back to their boss. And they'll soon be unemployed and looking for another job. You do them no favor by not teaching them honor and respect from their youngest days. A child's primary means of demonstrating honor and respect for mother and father during those years where they're in the home is through obedience. And if you don't understand that, and you don't strive for that in your home, then you are encouraging open, intentional violation of the command of God. And you're inviting the wrath and judgment of God on your own child. Why does it matter? Why does it matter you make your child obey? And I do mean, I use that word intentionally, make your child obey. Why? Because you're God's representative. And understand it or not, believe it or not, I'm telling you it's true. The way your child views you is the way your child will view God. It's important because unless you're deranged, you have the best interest of your child at heart. And you know that in the long run, this is what's right. And you have to deal with the pain and the heartache of they're not understanding that now. I'm going to be the first to acknowledge that it's hard. It's hard to look in the eye of that child that you love and see those tears starting to drop down because they don't understand. And why did you do that? To hold them in your arm and say, I'm doing it for your own good. Because this is about loving God. This is about treating others with respect. Of course, another reason is the fact that Jesus obeyed his earthly father and mother. Though he was the sovereign creator and king of the universe, he lived in obedience to Mary and Joseph and honored them and respected them. What about the mature child? What happens when I grow up and I'm not living under their roof anymore? Well, there's a different dynamic. Genesis 2:24 says, for this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. What that means is, when you marry, you establish a new primary relationship. When you come forward and stand before witnesses and you repeat vows to one another, and before God you commit your life to that person, the two of you then have a new loyalty that takes precedent over your parents. When you leave father and mother and you cleave together, your primary responsibility is no longer obedience to mom and dad. What becomes primary from that point on is reverence, expressing itself in respect. To respect. To revere. And you do that in the way you speak to and the way you speak about your father and your mother. You don't always agree. In fact, you may be in a circumstance where you violently, absolutely, 180 degrees disagree. But you can still show honor to them in the way you speak to and about your father and mother. Well, let me give you another one that I think is really essential, really important, and it's the one that most of us as the people of God, I think, need to focus on. How do you show reverence, honor to your parents? Proverbs 23, verse 24 and 25. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. You bring honor and glory to your father and mother when you are a righteous person. A person with a good name. A person of sterling character is an honor to their father and mother. Now here's the thing. Even when you are that person in spite of your father and mother, you bring honor to them in being the godly person God intended you to be. You bear their name and you bring them honor. Honor your father and your mother. You see to it that they're taken care of. You see to it that you offer love and affection and respect. You take time for them. And you honor them with the life that you live. Very quickly, what difference does all this make? Well, that's at the end of the verse. That your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now, this is not a promise for individual longevity. Alistair Begg, in his commentary on this passage, a sermon he preached, said that he preached one Sunday and there was a visitor in the congregation that was a family member or somebody in the congregation, and they came out to him afterwards and they said, "I want you to meet my aunt. She's 100 years old." And he said, "I got kind of excited about that." And he said, "I went to get my son because it's not every day a child gets to meet somebody 100 years old." He said, "So I took my little boy over and introduced him and said, 'Son, she's 100 years old.'" And he just stared at her and said, "She must have been really good to her mama." Because he was taught this verse. Live long. Now notice it's live long in the land. It's a national promise. It's saying to a people, when these principles are lived out, there is stability in the culture. We ignore this command to our own peril as a nation. We need to return to a biblical understanding of honor and respect, because it will greatly benefit us. But listen, our primary motivation is not the societal advantages of it. Primary motivation, we already saw it in Ephesians 6 and in Colossians 3, because it is right and because it pleases the Lord. That's our motivation. Honor. Give weight. Give value. Esteem your father and your mother. Love God. Love others. Let's pray together.
You've been listening to a Bulldogs and Piggies production, a serious podcast with a silly name. Find us on the web at www.pwhatcher.blogspot.com. Bulldogs and Piggies features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.com.